Good afternoon. Cindy and I are from Pierce County, Washington, which is in the South Puget Sound region of Washington State. Our population is about 810,000, and 15% of our residents are uninsured compared with 10% in Washington State as a whole. And I gave you a picture of our – oops, I need to advance my – there we go. I gave you a picture of our beautiful Mount Rainier here that actually we claim in Pierce County. It's not in King County where Seattle is. And this is our view that we get when it's not raining and foggy, which is about 10 days a year. We've, as a health department, been working to promote use of Tdap for adults and adolescents since it first came out in 2006, but we've recently stepped up efforts dramatically because of increased disease activity. And Kathy let you know about what's going on in California. We've also had an increase in Washington State since about June of 2010, which includes two infant deaths. Oops, I keep forgetting to advance. Washington State has always had an increase, has always had a higher disease rate than the United States as a whole. The red bars represent Washington State, and the blue line is United States as a whole. These data represent quarterly the numbers of cases in Pierce County. And in 2005, we had our last community-wide increase. Things were relatively quiet for the next few years. And actually, in the first 6 months of 2010, we had only one case of pertussis reported in Pierce County. And then along about June of 2010, we started to see an increase in cases. And for the first quarter of 2011, which isn't even over yet, we've had the most cases reported per quarter in many years. So we're actually working with a school-based outbreak that's contributed many, many cases to that number. Thankfully, in Pierce County, we've only had three infant cases since the case count started to rise. Those three infants have done well, actually, thankfully. Just a bit about our health department immunization program. We have no immunization clinics at our building. Our health department closed those in 1996. We now partially fund three mobile immunization providers that are affiliated with our local hospital systems, and they provide the children's immunizations throughout the county and throughout the county at many different sites, so it's actually been a very good thing. Our Pierce County Health Department Immunization Program distributes vaccines through the Vaccines for Children program, and also we do provider education and quality monitoring. Our Pierce County Immunization Coalition is a very active coalition that brings together partners from the health department, our mobile immunization nurses, and also private providers and representatives from industry. And that coalition actually has driven this project actually and really is involved in disease control efforts in our county. Did I go too far? Oops. Now I'm going way too far. So with our Tdap promotion program, we are focusing on four key strategies. Education to parents and others who have contact with newborns to receive the pertussis vaccination, the cocooning messages Kathy was talking about. Also, medical provider education about pertussis disease and also the use of pertussis-containing vaccines. We're doing outreach to agencies that serve childbearing families. And then our last strategy is ensuring that vaccine is available to low-income and uninsured persons who have contact with newborns. For our patient education materials, we're using these Sounds of Pertussis materials that are produced by the March of Dimes, and Sanofi Pasteur has funded these materials, and we actually were able to get large supply of these from our Santa Fe representative, and we've distributed this throughout the county. This booklet is about 7 or 8 pages, and the little card that says, hey, there's about 3 or 4 of these little tear-out cards in the booklet that the parent can tear out and give to a relative or a grandparent or a babysitter to remind them to get their Tdap vaccination. And these materials also come in Spanish. They're very nice. And they were free to us. I'm going to skip over that. Our provider education focuses, I'm a public health nurse that does disease, communicable disease investigation and control for our county, and I find, I'm talking with providers every day, and I find that they really do appreciate and respond to information about what is going on in our county with disease incidents. And so we thought it was really important to let our providers know about the increased cases that we were seeing so that we could get them on board with doing what they need to do to help us in disease control. So we produced a health advisory in July of 2010 to raise awareness of the increase in cases, and we followed that up with a couple more advisories, you know, just to give surveillance updates and information as our year progressed. We also followed that up with provider newsletter articles, periodic surveillance updates, and key messages we kept repeating over and over again for providers is to think pertussis. We find that a lot of cases go missing because providers are thinking that immunized people cannot catch pertussis. We've all seen this. Or they might suspect pertussis, but they don't test for it or treat or report to the health department. So we are continually hammering these messages home to think pertussis, test, treat, report, and immunize patients, and also for the providers to immunize themselves and immunize the staff in the offices. Here's just some examples of our materials. We also have had extensive conversations with our hospital systems, and we now have three birthing hospitals in Pierce County, two of which have standing orders to give Tdap vaccine to their postpartum patients. All of our systems are using Tdap for wound management in the emergency departments. And one of our hospitals actually had a pertussis outbreak, I think it was in 2002 or 3, many, many cases involving staff and patients, and it was quite disastrous financially and, it was awful. And that hospital is now very, very proactive on getting all staff immunized. Also, our mobile immunization nurses that are actually employees of the hospital systems have worked tirelessly to improve immunization rates within the hospital staff. I'm going to turn it over to Cindy now.
So I'm really looking forward to this. It's been nice to work with Denise because she is on the surveillance side, and I'm on the vaccine for children / adult side. And so my job, my function, really has been a lot of provider education. We have been doing, with the help and support of our very active immunization coalition, we've been doing annual in-servicing where we provide free dinners to our VFC, primarily VFC providers in the community, and also 2 sessions every year, and these are all 3 hours each, where we do basic vaccine storage and management and administration in servicing. And so in particular, this year, we focused our provider education. We called it, What's the Big Whoop? As far as whooping cough, and we've been planning this for quite some time since last summer, and Denise mentioned that we have industry, we have school nurses, we have a lot of people at the table. Our mobile immunization nurses come and are extremely active and huge champions of immunizations in our community, and they help put this together. And so we brought in Dr. James Cherry from UCLA, who was just with us just a couple of weeks ago for this presentation, but this has been in the works for months. And we wanted him to talk about the California pertussis outbreak to our providers, and not just to our VFC providers, but also to our OB-GYNs, our family practice that are not on our enrollment, to our birthing unit doctors, our birthing unit managers, and really do more concentrated outreach. So we have a group of network nurses that go out and do communicable disease updates for our provider offices. We've got a database where we can send blast facts. So we sent this information repeatedly to multiple key point people within their healthcare systems to get this message out that Dr. Cherry was coming and we were going to have this update. And we also brought in Chaz DeBolt from the State Epidemiology Office to come and talk about what's happening in Washington State. Because as you may or may not know, even though this vaccine, Tdap vaccine, has been out in licensure for 5 or 6 years, the uptake on this vaccine has been very slow. And quite frankly, in many areas, very poor. And as Denise said, when we saw this coming up, potentially coming up the I-5 corridor from California, we wanted to do whatever we could do to prepare for that onslaught of pertussis cases. And it was a great time to review that with all of our providers out there. The other thing that I want to really talk about is that I wanted to change this from a Tdap promotion to a whooping cough vaccine promotion, because we would have folks come in to their provider offices, their IMs, their FPs, asking for a Tdap vaccine. They spelled it out, handed it to the nurse or MA, as we often have in our offices, and they walked out with TDs. And I was so disheartened to hear this over and over and over again. So I figured the only way I could ensure that they would get a whooping cough vaccine as if we sent them in there and they asked for a whooping cough vaccine, because Tdap is the only way they're going to get that. So we were really encouraged to know that there was tremendous interest in this subject, and we had over 100 attendees at our in-service that evening. And again, my hat's off to my partners with my longstanding coalition, which we meet monthly on that. And of course, Dr. Cherry and I really tried to hammer home the changes in the ACIP recommendations that really were coming out of the California epidemic, where we need to reach our caregivers that are over 65 years of age. A lot of grandparents are caring for their grandchildren in their homes, in churches, in WIC offices, and also the children between 7 and 10 years of age need to have that dose of pertussis as well. At the same time, we were fortunate enough to be approached about the GIFT program, and hopefully all of you are aware of that. Santa Fe Pasteur has offered free doses of vaccine to any medical provider or public health department for underinsured or uninsured adults who care for infants less than 12 months of age. So meanwhile, Denise took that upon herself to apply for that grant and was very successful in pushing that through. And I'm proud to say that we were the first county in the country to receive, we were the first grantee recipients of that vaccine, and we received the largest so far in the country of 1,200 doses. Washington State is also is the largest recipient total for the GIFT program. And I would encourage you, if you are interested in that, to stop by their desk downstairs. They do have a poster and information about the GIFT program. Now, if I know something as expensive that's supposed to be for free, I want to have some assurances that when I get to wherever I'm supposed to go to get something free, that they know I'm coming. So I thought, well, people need to have some sort of validation that they were really going to get this free dose of vaccine. So we asked some of our coworkers at work to take this little piece of project on to make sure that this could be pushed through all of our levels and levels of communication and approval process to get a little coupon put together that we could then give to folks. And it serves our second strategy purpose of really doing some community education, but it also did provider education, because if they present with this coupon, it's again saying that they need to have a pertussis vaccine and what their risk factors are, and that the babies that are in their household, in their care, are at great risk. And so this has our mobile immunization nurses' contact information on it, and the idea was we got this out to all of our WIC sites. We put it in Spanish, by the way, and it went out and is continuing to go out through our network nurses as they make their rounds to all of our providers, to child cares, the birthing units in particular, WIC offices. All of our mobile nurses are co-located with WIC offices. We even have our MSS public health nurses going out to make home visits, and they will bring the vaccine into the household and vaccinate the dads or other caregivers that apply if they don't have an ability to get out and get that through their primary care provider. We also did some outreach to public library systems, both county and city, and we brought it out to the homeless during a blanket drive on Christmas Eve. To date, we have given out approximately 150 doses and more, and I know that doesn't seem like a lot of the 1,200, but it took a while to get all these materials and promotions and avenues of distribution together, and we will continue to restock all those avenues of information distribution, and we now have all of our materials together, and so the network nurses, and I keep looking down in this corner because Carolyn Cook is one of our primary champions in Tacoma Pierce County, and she's worked tirelessly to bring this to the birthing units and the WIC offices and so forth, and she's been very happy to be able to receive the dads and grandparents who qualify for this vaccine and offer this vaccine for free. So some of our next steps is we will be doing a care. The communities are responding every day, clinic, a neighborhood clinic of we're hoping to see about 1,200 folks. And we don't expect that all of them will qualify for this vaccine, but our medical reserve corps nursing staff, the volunteers, as well as the mobile immunization nurses will be there and ready to vaccinate. And we will actually ask for a second gift to be able to cover those needs and continue on with our primary goals. And then we also want to reach out to our Latin community and possibly work with Central Latino. Here's our contact information. Thank you so much.